Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to all our listeners. This is the Business Day Spotlight. It is episode 58, and that means it is the first one of 2020. It is a new year. We are joined on the line by Sipamandla Mkhwanazi, who is a senior economist at FNB, and he's just going to be talking to you and I as consumers in South Africa, because some results recently came out from the FNB BER Consumer Confidence Index, and he's just going to be telling us what the life of a consumer is looking like in South Africa, and possibly some of the things that we should be looking out for in the year to come. Sipamandla, how are you?
I'm very well, thanks, brother. How are you?
I'm all right. Thank you so much for joining us on today's show. So I guess to, you know, begin things, the Consumer Confidence Index, for our listeners, what is it, and how have you guys actually gone about gauging some of the pressures that consumers are facing at the moment?
Right. So the Consumer Confidence Index in general just tracks the mood of the South African consumer. It has been going on for a number of years, actually. And we use this to test or to gauge the mood of the South African consumer. And if you correlate that with household consumption expenditure, you actually find that the two actually quite they correlate quite well. So the index is used as a predictor of how households are going to fare in that particular quarter, so far as expenditure is concerned. And we break it down into three broad variables. So it's actually just three questions that are asked to consumers of different income groups, of different races, of different gender, and of different LSM. So we try to make it as representative as possible. So the three broad questions are that what the consumer's expected financial positions are, their own financial positions are. We ask them what their expected performance of the economy is over the next 12 months. And lastly, we ask them whether they rate the present time as appropriate for them to buy these big ticket items, durable goods such as cars, furniture, appliances, and electronic equipment and stuff like that. And out of those three broad questions, we then come up with a composite index that tells you, that gauges the mood or the sentiment of the consumer, and we can also break it down by income group.
So now that you guys have done that research, what are consumers feeling at the moment? What is the general consensus?
So at the moment, the index for the fourth quarter of 2019 came in at -7. Which means that consumers are relatively pessimistic. So a negative reading means that consumers are pessimistic, and a positive reading means that consumers are relatively optimistic about the entire South African economy. So at -7, it stays the same as the previous quarter, which is the third quarter of 2019, and this is a 2-year low. So it suggests that over the past 2 years, consumers are highly pessimistic about the faring of the South African economy at the moment. But the historical average since 1994 is +2. So at -7, it tells you how pessimistic South African consumers are. And this is important because at the beginning of 2018, there was this change in the mood of South African consumers. At that stage, some called it the Ramaphosa. At that stage, consumers were quite positive they were optimistic about the performance of the South African economy. At that stage, they thought that South Africa has turned the corner and that the economy was going to perform well. And consequently, their financial standing, their household financial standing was going to change. And at that stage, they were really looking forward to buying these big ticket items such as cars and furniture. But subsequent to that, I think South Africans have lost hope in the performance of the South African economy as well as their financial standing. And if you look around, you will see that a lot of sectors are actually losing jobs at the moment. So it's not surprising that consumers are relatively pessimistic at this stage. And it also shows on their rating of their own financial standing, and that correlates also with their view as whether this is the appropriate time for them to buy big ticket items. So at this stage, consumers they're not looking to commit to these big financial obligations.
You know, when you look at the graph for the for your consumer index, it really does seem to correlate in some way with South Africa's growth, because I'm just seeing that, you know, you had an uptick, let's say, from about 2000 to maybe 2008, and I think, you know, that was a very good period for South Africa, but the downturn in the global economy also reflected in this. But it seemed that, you know, just maybe 2 years ago, people were at an all-time high, like consumers really, you know, were really feeling like things were good in South Africa, but things have dipped even below 1994 levels. You know, what are some of the pressures that you guys are noting on consumers? Is it Eskom? Is it the rand? Is it inflation? Is it just generally that, as you said, the job losses? Is it disposable income? What are some of the key factors?
Actually, you summarized it quite well. It's a combination of all those factors. It's on the back of weak economic growth, the record high unemployment that we are currently seeing, that we are currently experiencing. It's the ongoing electricity supply crisis, as well as the Eskom's financial. For the fourth quarter, what was also important was what came out in the medium term policy statement, which highlighted that stark deterioration in government finances, which then raised concerns about possible cutbacks in government employment, and additionally it raised concerns about the possibility of further tax hikes, which then affects this consumer confidence, as well as factors such as Moody's lowering South Africa's investment grading. So a combination of all of these factors continue weighing on consumers' disposable income, as well as their sentiment. But also, if you look at, although inflation has remained relatively contained over the past year or so, you look at what is pushing inflation up. It's issues like it's those unavoidable costs, such as electricity, such as water prices, taxes, such as property taxes. So it's those factors that it's those costs that consumers are unable to avoid. So all of that also erodes consumers' discretionary income, and the combination of which depresses consumers' income, and then it limits their ability and willingness to spend.
Now, Sipho Mandla, I know that as economists, people always place a bit of a burden on you guys to sort of look into the crystal ball and predict what's going to happen going forward. So I'm going to put that to you. You know, as consumers, what are some of the factors that are likely to be affecting us in the next year to come? And are there ways that people can, you know, perhaps either protect themselves or at least inform themselves a bit better going forward?
Right. So 2020, I'll take you back to the beginning of 2019. We were expecting that 2020 was going to be a year where this upward trajectory really begins. But as the year progressed, and as these unexpected risks and the unexpected power crisis that we experienced, we then became increasingly concerned about 2020 outcomes. And at this stage, while we do expect a slight uptick, very modest uptick in 2020, there are risks that are still embedded. There are risks that are likely to keep our growth outlook relatively subdued. And so for 2020, the biggest event risk would be the February budget. It is important for two reasons. And the first one is, will South Africa be able to stabilize its debt trajectory? And what are we going to do with the underperforming SOEs? Are we going to be able to break up Eskom, which is continuously weighed on our finance, on our balance sheet? That's going to be the first part on the fiscal side. But the second one, specifically for the consumer, is we know that in the October budget, the minister hinted that South Africa needs about 150 billion, needs to raise about 150 billion. And looking at the quantum of what needs to be raised, there is a possibility that we might see further tax hikes, although we don't expect them to be extensive, given the fact that there's now limited room for Treasury to play around with personal taxes, but it does remain a possibility for the consumer. So once we have a bit more clarity on what the budget is going to look like, then that's going to inform our forecast going forward. But at this stage, we think that growth of around 0.9% or so, which is still below average population growth of about 1.6%, but slightly positive for the consumer is that even with the possibility of a downgrade, interest rate trajectory is expected to remain relatively stable, and risks or probability of a cut is actually higher than the probability of a hike. So we are looking at a 25 bips cut in the first half of the year, which is not that much, but it is going to be marginal boost to the consumer. And the second thing is that while we see these pressures on inflation, I mean, emanating from utilities such as electricity, such as water prices, as I mentioned earlier, overall inflation is expected to remain relatively subdued. And this is because retailers, given the levels of demand that we are seeing at the moment, retailers are struggling to pass on costs to consumers, and have had to, you know, slash prices to entice consumers to buy. And we see this across different sectors in the economy. We see it in the property space, where sellers have to slash their prices to strike a deal. We see it in the retail space, where retailers have to run specials for consumers to increase their spending on certain items. So those are the positives for the consumer, in that demand is low, and therefore inflation is expected to remain relatively low, and therefore threat to their purchasing power is not as much as it used to be. It's not as much as it was in the past couple of years. Nonetheless, we still expect that as you would have seen with retrenchments that are looming in some sectors, the ICT sector, the retail sector, and looking at wage growth even. We haven't seen, December time was usually, December was usually the time when people would get their bonuses, would get overtime, and they would spend that during the festive season. We're not seeing that much of that in recent years. We are likely for the fourth quarter, for example, to see a relatively subdued December shopping. So a combination of all those factors means that we are likely to remain in this high pressure environment on household finances, unfortunately.
So you heard it. That's us with Sipamandla Mkhwanazi, who is a senior economist at FNB. And he's telling us that despite how tough 2020 is likely to be for South African consumers, because their growth projection for the economy is currently sitting at 0.9%, he's saying that there are some positives on the inflation front and on the interest rates front. And he's also just saying that one of the big things to look out for is what's going to be said in the upcoming budget, as that's going to inform a lot around the economy and how ratings agencies will look at South Africa. And then lastly, he's also pointing out the fact that when things are tough on consumers, it also results in things also being tough on businesses, and they are definitely feeling the pinch. Sipamandla, for people that perhaps, you know, want to follow you, is there a way they can do that?
Yes, so yeah, available on LinkedIn. It's Sipho Amandla Mkhwanazi, and on Facebook. I'm not too big on Twitter, but it's Sipho underscore Mkhwanazi, for obvious reasons. It's Sipho underscore Mkhwanazi. I'm available on Twitter as well.
So we've just had the discussion with Sipho Maandla, and I can't help but to think about one of this week's biggest news headlines, and that's Telkom possibly retrenching up to 3,000 people. They haven't confirmed how many people, but it's going to be a big number most likely. And I think from the conversation we had, it's sort of symptomatic of some of the things that Sipho Maandla was saying, because he mentioned the fact that part of the consumer pressure is the fact that people are being let go, and when you are let go, you don't have money, there's no disposable incomes, and it's like a vicious cycle, because as consumers are under pressure, it also means they're buying less, which means businesses are also under pressure, which means it becomes this whole cycle in the economy. So I think that Telkom story really, really reflects hard. The other one that I can't help but think about is Eskom, right? I don't know what we can do about that thing, right? But I honestly think just to put South Africans at better ease, if I can call it that, Eskom needs to stop trying to sell us the dream that they can provide 24 hours a day of electricity, 7 days a week, 12 months a year. Rather, because there are so many issues and maintenance needs to happen, let's make load shedding a feature of the economy, right? You plan, you tell us, okay, here for the next month, know that for 4 out of whatever days in the next month, there will be no electricity from this time to this time. This thing of having to wake up every day and check Twitter to know whether or not there's going to be electricity can't be a way of life. It's not good for business planning. And as a normal person, it's not good for your own daily planning. Imagine, right? You leave home, there's no electricity, you come back, there was a power surge that breaks your fridge. You know what I mean? And that's like a reality, right? Those are some of the little things that are putting pressures on South Africans, on the consumer. So I honestly think, those are, my main two thoughts. It's quite a cycle. But my last thought is simply that you're really seeing this happening across the world. There's a global, they call it a global slowdown. Consumers in a number of places in the world are under pressure and the like. I'm not sure what needs to happen, but I really think a culture of saving, maybe a culture of investing, might be something to look into. But also just helping people to plan better, I think that will really go a long way. My last thought is just around what was said about in the very beginning. I mean, the whole premise of the whole conversation is that South African consumers are under pressure, and from their research, they're feeling pessimistic. And the reason I'm bringing it up is that most of the time when we hear the headlines, oh, there's a slowdown, oh, growth is going to be less than 1%. Oh, inflation is at this. This really helps to quantify like how the person on the street is feeling, like the ordinary person, because usually we talk in broad terms and we hide behind the rand and big economic indicators. But like, I feel like this type of index or this type of research really like talking to people. And you heard from Sipho Maandla, they ask very basic questions. Do you feel like you can invest in a big ticket item? How are you feeling about the prospects of the economy? How are you feeling about your current financial position? Those are basic questions. And when it results in that, you just get that feeling that people are under pressure. But anyway, those are my thoughts. Tell us what you think. What are you looking out for as a consumer? What are your concerns? And for future episodes, what would you like to hear about, and who would you like to hear from? Let us know. So that brings us to the end of this particular episode. It was our first episode for 2020, episode 58 in the series. Remember that you can find our latest podcasts on Business Live under the Podcast Business Day Spotlight tab. On Twitter, we're #BDSpotlight. And remember that you have to review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, or wherever you choose to get your pods casted. So with that, we come to the end of today's show. Thank you to our amazing team. Our producer is Paige Muller. So I've been Mudiwa Gavaza, and this has been the Business Day Spotlight. Remember, we are a multimedia live production. So from us and the rest of the team, it is a good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.